Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malo lele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes, and from badminton to 3-on-3 basketball, we've got you covered today for all things Pacifica sport. And if you've listened to us before, you know I'm not alone in this journey. I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific, and each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the islands. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is PNG journalist and media manager for PNG Football. Hello, Aketa, Patricia Kiamo.
Hi, Sam. Hi, everyone. It's been a great pleasure to be back on the show.
It is great to have you back on. How's the Port Moresby traffic over there? Last time we connected, obviously, it was a shocker.
Yeah, I wish I could say it improved, but apparently it's gone from bad to worse. It's getting towards Christmas, so everyone's out there. So.
It is that time of the year, but we're going to go through, this is our second last episode for the year for 2025. What's been your sporting highlight for the year?
Honestly, a lot has happened this year that I am still trying to wrap my head around, but it has been an amazing ride being on the show. I can't believe I lasted this long, but just a couple of weeks ago I was... I've been covering a lot of stuff this year, and the one that really stood out for me was the recently concluded MSG Prime Minister's Cup football tournament that was hosted here in Port Moresby. I had full hands-on with this tournament. I was running the entire media operations for the tournament, and I think it was one of the best tournaments that Papua New Guinea has hosted ever or that I've been a part of. It was hectic, all the Melanesian countries coming in to Port Moresby to compete, and just seeing the sportsmanship as well as the different cultures and everything else each of the teams brought. That was some experience, and to top it all off, I had the opportunity to travel back to Vanuatu with the cup. The Vanuatu men's team won the cup, and we took them back to Vanuatu to live there. It was a short-lived trip, but I think that was the highlight of it all, you know. Arriving in Port Vila to see how crazy they are about football. That was just a highlight of it.
Oh, I love that. And I did see that the MSG Prime Minister's Cup will take place in Fiji in 2026, which is exciting for Fiji. Will you try and get on the plane and get over for that one?
Oh, definitely. I'm going to be there.
There, we'll pause it there. Yep, you're going to be there and doing some of your best work. But let's get over to my other co-host who has represented Samoa in rugby league and rugby union, and now she's a leader for women and girls in sport in the Pacific. Talo Falava, and welcome back to Gabriel Abelu.
Talo Falava, Sam, and warm Pacific greetings to everybody. It's great to be back. Exciting towards the end of the year.
It is, yep. Christmas plans, anything so exciting for yourself besides all the eating and catching up with family?
Well, you know how it is in the islands when it's Christmas time. There is no relaxation, right? it's just function of the family function. And probably I'm looking forward to just not doing anything.
Oh, that will be nice. Just to put the feet up and enjoy some R&R. Perfect.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
For yourself, though, it's been a big year for sport, and Samoa have really led the way in the Pacific with some of their achievements. But what's been your sporting highlight for 2025?
Yeah, I think 2025 has been a massive year just because it seems to be the lead up to even more exciting events coming in the near future. So across all sporting codes. But I think for me, in particular this year, was the Pacific Champ Finals between Tua Samoa and the Kiwis, because I was there just unreal. Just to see the fan base in action was something that would probably stay with me for a while. Just to see not just Samoans, but Pacific, our Pacific Island sisters and brothers. And it didn't matter whether you were Samoan or not, but just joining together in solidarity, that was something that'll stay with me for quite a bit.
Yeah,
really exciting. Yeah,
absolutely. That was so special. And Fetu Samoa as well. They were enormous with their games. Absolutely loved some of the superstars that are coming through for Fetu. And next year it's going to be huge. And hopefully we won't be hearing that song Versace on the floor for the Tongans next year. But
nah, man, 685 to the world.
All good, but we will talk a bit about that Rugby League World Cup coming up later on in the show. But what's coming up on the show today? We'll meet a Japanese wrestling champion named Yuta Abe, who is Samoa's national wrestling coach, currently developing their best athletes and hoping for lots of medals at their next Oceania competition.
20 medals? Yeah, 20 medals.
Yeah. 20 medals?
Yes.
Yeah. All gold?
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah.
20 medals. Hopefully there's going to be 20 athletes there competing and they can bring home those 20 gold medals. Plus, there's been some big results in the world of football, news in cricket, weightlifting, rugby league, plus some of the best games and trivia on radio. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, on Fresh Off the Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. If it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Patricia, let's start in PNG. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so what's happening here, but one thing that's really sparked a lot of debate in around the country is the ongoing investigation currently conducted by the Independent Commission Against Corruption, or ICAC, into the PNG Sports Foundation over alleged corruption and misappropriation of over 1.7 million kina. So far, four people have been arrested following that investigation. That includes the former director, former executive director of the Sports Foundation, a project manager, two project managers, as well as former sports minister for PNG. It has been alleged that the Sports Foundation awarded four contracts and made payments of about 1.7 million kina to a private company without adherence to proper procurement processes. So these contracts were for the contractors to supply sporting equipment as well as do social mapping services to the PNG Sports Foundation. That's in relation to the PNG Games, or as it used to be called formerly, as the Grassroots Games, where you have all the provinces in PNG coming together to compete. That's usually done on the year before the Pacific Games. Now, this investigation dates back to alleged corruption and misappropriation, dating back all the way to 2015, when PNG hosted the last Pacific Games. And so four arrests have already been made. Another warrant of arrest has just been obtained for one more arrest to be done. And some of the money were allegedly found in a bank account of a former sports minister's wife. And she's currently based in Australia, so a lot's happening on that front. So all those monies were supposed to be used for a couple of sporting events, including the biggest one was supposed to be the PNG Games, or the Grassroots Games, as it was formerly called. So just last week, four arrests have been made, first appearance in court, and the investigation is ongoing. And I think this is the biggest ICAC investigation into a sporting organization that resulted in arrests. And
court appearances. So it is still a developing story. A lot more arrests will be made as the investigation continues. So the PNG Sports Foundation is the government's governing body for sport. So a lot of money goes into that organization for, you know, coordination and organization of a whole lot of big sporting events. So a lot more money is still being alleged to have been misappropriated. So as the investigation continues into the next couple of months, we will find out how things go. But this has been the biggest talk of the town lately.
Man, absolutely breaks me every time I hear these type of stories, the governance and, you know, poor administration, not supporting the sports that desperately need these type of funds to be able to continue and grow. Like, how do we move past this? How do we get to a point where this does not become a topic in like across the Pacific Islands?
True, that's something that, you know, that happens in a lot of places in the Pacific, and like for Papua New Guinea especially, like. It is sad to see, you know, these things happening, because at the end of the day, when things like this happen, money gets misappropriated due to, you know, poor management and all that. The people that really suffer the most in all of this is the sporting codes and its athletes, because they're the ones who put in the work behind to, you know, get themselves prepared, getting athletes to, you know, prepare high performance and all that. It takes a lot, and, you know, for them to have the type of preparations and everything done only to be let down by those in that position that could have, you know, done better, you know, for the sake of getting the athletes to compete and for the development of sports. It's sad to see, you know, the athletes and the sporting codes suffer because of poor management decisions.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Thank you for bringing us that story. But let's get over to you now, Gabs, and head to Samoa. What have you got for us?
All right, so we are talking about the Rugby League World Cup 2026. In 2017, Matema Atonga, through superstar Jason Taumalolo, shook the status quo for Pacific Island pride on the Rugby League World Stage. This set a movement that was cemented in a stunning fairy tale final showdown between Tor Samoa and Australia, but not before Tor Samoa ended England's sweet chariot ride in the semi-finals in 2022. Now, the Rugby League World Cup 2026 looms, and the Pacific Islands have cemented their place on the global arena, with NRL superstars choosing to play for their countries of heritage rather than New Zealand or Australia. While it's set to be the most competitive World Cup since 1954, and according to Mal Meninga as well, and with it being played in Australia, you can best believe the Pacific Islands fan base of the Blue Army and the Red Wave will be in full force.
Yeah, big news for the Rugby League World Cup here in Australia. There's going to be plenty of support for all of our Pacific Island nations. If we see some of the pool games here, we've got the Cook Islands have drawn Australia, New Zealand and Fiji. Tonga and PNG are in the same group with France. There'll be games in Port Moresby, which is exciting. So plenty will be happening at this Rugby League World Cup. And obviously Samoa as well will be playing against England and Lebanon, and there'll be a big clash.
And Tonga.
Yeah. That will be the big one. And hopefully the tables are going to turn this time around for my Red Army. What are you thinking there?
Well,
we'll move on.
I think wishes can be granted at some point in time, but, you know, not every wish can be granted. But there's no way that we cannot always hope. There's always hope.
There is always hope. I need more than hope. We need prayers. We need everything.
Yeah, I think you're going to need like a whole... More flags.
That can't be possible. Between all the flags of Samoa and Tonga waving in the stands, no one will be able to see the game. There'll be many flags.
I think that'll be like the highlight, right? You'll be watching, trying to see through a flag just to see if there's anybody on the field. It's absolutely nuts. I think them hosting the World Cup in Australia was a very strategic, well, obviously they had no choice to back up, but considering the fan base for all the countries, it's going to be nuts, I think.
And with the women's game as well, Pool A, we've got Australia, England, Samoa, and Wales. In Pool B, we've got New Zealand, PNG, France, and Fiji.
Insane.
So there's plenty of happening. How do you think Fetu Samoa is going to go in the Women's World Cup?
Yeah, I think Fetu Samoa, judging just by their performance with the Pacific Championship, they're an amazing team, and I think they should end up in the top four. I think they should definitely get down to the semifinals, and might even pull off an upset just like the boys did. But I think Fetu Samoa look good. Probably need a little bit more stamina to weather the full 80 minutes, but they look great. They should do well.
Thank you so much for filling us in on what's floating around on the Coconut Wireless, Gabs and Patricia.
Join Jacob McQuire and Michael Chow for Nisha Daily every weekday morning on ABC Radio Australia.
Has anyone described your voice as annoying, Emily?
What are you trying to say, Michael?
Yeah, that's a
no, sorry. Like,
she came out and said to interviewers, "My family finds my voice annoying."
That's such a family thing to say,
I know.
Hey?
Yeah, burn your dreams, keep you attached to the ground.
Keep you really, really humble. Hey. Nisha Daily, weekday mornings from 7 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field, and it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Patricia, what's caught your eye in PNG?
So a lot's happening. It's getting towards Christmas, and a lot of competitions have concluded their season. Some are still trying to wrap things up. And the Papua New Guinea's Premier Soccer League competition is one of the competitions that are coming towards the finals. Just this week, the normal round games for the Men's Premier League concluded, with teams now gearing up for the semifinals, which is expected to be played on Saturday. Now, after a whole round of 22 games played in Port Moresby and Lae over the last couple of months, it has come to a point where one of the clubs with the most titles, Lae City FC, they've won about seven of this competition's title. Back then it was called the National Soccer League. Now the name's been changed to Premier Soccer League, but still Lae City currently holds the most title. And they've finished on top of the table after 20 games. They had an unbeaten run, winning 15 games and recording 5 draws. They haven't lost a match in all 20 matches played. Finished off with 50 points and a total of 49 goals scored through the season. Hekari United is another top club that's with the second most titles won. They are in second place with 40 points, followed by Gulf Comora and FC Morobe Wawan. So you have two Lae teams and two teams from Port Moresby that have cemented the top four spot in the Premier Soccer League. And those four teams will battle it out in the semifinals that's expected to be played this weekend here in Port Moresby. Now, Lae City will take on FC Morobe Wawans in the first semifinals, followed by Hekari United and Gulf Comora. So it's going to be a battle of Lae in Port Moresby, and whoever wins it gets to go into the big dance to play the grand final next Saturday. So everything's coming to reps. This season has been probably the biggest season in the Premier League, because in the last two seasons we only had 8 clubs competing. This summer on we had 11 clubs. So it has been a fantastic season, seeing a lot of stars coming up, mostly young players who have really stepped up their game to put up a solid performance. And a couple of them have earned their spots in the national teams, both the senior men's team and the development teams as well. So this is going to be an epic semi-final clash between the four teams: Lae City FC, Hekari United, Gulf Comora, and FC Morobe Wawans, with a prize money of 100,000 kina at stake for the grand final winner.
Yeah, nice. We're looking forward to those games. And what would you spend 100,000 kina on if you won the prize money?
Probably buy a plane ticket to a nice island.
Just by yourself.
Turn my phone off and stay there.
Sounds good to me. But what about in other news? I hear you've got some news around the PNG Lawas in cricket.
Yes, so this week has been another big win for, well, another big week, rather, for the Papua New Guinea women's cricket team, also known as the PNG Lawas. So they've recently concluded competing in the ICC Women's Emerging Nations Trophy campaign, and they finished off the tournament with 4 wins from 7 matches. And unfortunately, due to their losses against Uganda and United Arab Emirates, they were not able to advance to the playoff and final stage, although they won 4 matches out of 7 due to the points and difference in net run rate has seen them bow out of the tournament. But they are really thrilled, especially to register wins against the likes of Thailand and Netherlands, who are, you know, big cricket-playing nations, and who are also, well, Thailand and Netherlands are also part of the T20 World Cup global qualifier that Papua New Guinea has been preparing for. They will leave the shores of Port Moresby at the end of January to go off to Nepal for the T20 World Cup global qualifier. Now, a couple of months back, the Lawas won the East Asia Pacific qualifiers, and that booked them a spot to compete in the global World Cup qualifier. So the tournament that they just wrapped up, the Emerging Nations Trophy, is part of their preparation for the global qualifiers. They look to book a spot in the women's T20 World Cup. A lot of great performances put out there by the team with top batters, including Brenda Tao, who happens to be the captain of the team, scoring 167 runs with a net run rate of 84.34. The batters also did surprisingly, as the coach puts it, surprisingly better than what was expected, especially out of an inexperienced lineup, as PNG does not get to host much international fixtures or go on tour, especially the women's team. Most of their international matches are played within the East Asia Pacific region, so for them to go up against the likes of, you know, Thailand, Netherlands, Uganda, and United Arab Emirates was a great experience for them, you know, especially when they are preparing to vie for a spot in the ICC Women's T20 World Cup. So they arrived here last night back in Port Moresby. They will continue training for the next 2 weeks before they go off to their Christmas break for a week. And then it's back to the pitch again, preparing for the World Cup qualifier. So they are expected to train and play some practice games in Australia early January before they leave for Nepal for the global qualifier.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Lawas, are they all in Hanuabara?
Yes, majority
of majority
the team,
of them? Majority of the team, yeah.
Of the team. About, I'd say about 90% of the team are from Hanuabara.
That's right. Plenty of talent coming out of Hanuabara. So big shout out to all of them. I know big listeners of Nijian Footy and Fresh Off the Field and that Pacific Sports Show when they watch it. So love hearing those type of stories. And from across the Pacific, what have you got for us?
So this week has also been a big week for the sport of football in the region. So the Oceania Football Confederation just concluded the FIFA Women's World Cup qualifying for 3 countries, Cook Islands, American Samoa, and Tahiti competed in the qualifying tournament. So the winner of the tournament gets to advance into the group stage next February, where they vie for a spot to get into the Women's World Cup. Now, American Samoa have powered past Cook Islands and Tahiti in Rarotonga to secure progression into the second round of the qualifying stage for the FIFA Women's World Cup. Now, this success, American Samoa qualifying for that last slot in the group stage, it marks a bit of a history for them, because this is the first time that they have won consecutive women's international matches after beating Tahiti. They beat Cook Islands. So they beat Tahiti 3-0 and then Cook Islands 4-0 to book that spot. Now, this is the first time they've won consecutive women's international matches, and also the first time that they advanced past the first round of this qualifying process for a senior World Cup at any level. So none of the American Samoan teams have went past this stage to get into the group stage or the playoff for women's World Cup qualifier or any World Cup qualifier at all. So this is history for American Samoa, you know, powering past Cook Islands and Tahiti. So now with that win and booking that spot, they advance to join Group A of the FIFA Women's World Cup 20 OFC round 2 qualifying in February. So in Group A, they will join New Zealand, Solomon Islands, and Samoa. The group's group matches will be played in Solomon Islands in February next year. Top two from that group will advance to the finals. That's going to be played in Auckland. So that's some big news for American Samoa. I'm sure when they go back home, there's going to be some big celebrations going on, you know, making history for your country, you know.
Yeah, so Group A in Honiara feature New Zealand, Samoa, American Samoa and the Solomons. Group B in Fiji featuring PNG, Vanuatu, New Caledonia and Fiji. In the top two from both groups go through to the next stage, which is very exciting. But now we're going to go over to you now, Gabs. We're going to Samoa. What have you got for us?
Well, I think we're just same across the Pacific. You know, it's towards the end of the year, and so most competitive competitions or the seasons are winding down. But we with weightlifting, we'll go to weightlifting. And I've actually been really blessed to be able to see two other countries in island. So Team Fiji Weightlifting is currently here in Samoa together with the Samoa Weightlifting team. They're hosting a three-week training camp at the Oceania Weightlifting Academy and Institute. Fiji is looking to build a great young squad for the Commonwealth Games next year in Glasgow 2026 to improve their ranking, Samoa as well. And the last week just before that, Team Australia finished their camp here. So weightlifting has been quietly and in the background preparing for the Commonwealth Games 2026. And just to give a brief history, the last Commonwealth Games in 2022, Samoa had 4 medals, 1 gold, 3 silver, and Team Fiji also had 4 medals, 2 bronze and 2 silver. So everyone's looking to ensure that come next year, it's going to be fire.
It just seems like a natural fit that our Pacific Island athletes, our talent, our people should be, you know, participating more or striving more in this sport of weightlifting or world's strongest male or female, because it's just in our DNA, isn't it, Gabs?
Absolutely. I think in our build as well. And it's just, I think so Team Fiji has about 15 athletes. Samoa has over 20 athletes, obviously, in the weightlifting team. And that's not even counting the younger age group that we have, the under 15s that are already in development phase. And Team Australia came over with about 12 as well. So, but Pacific Islands with the build, I think it comes down to, I think over the years, injuries obviously kind of sort of early retirement some athletes, but when they just a natural strength within the Pacific Islander.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And when I think of our female athletes as well, just our women.
Absolutely.
Are so strong. Can we see more opportunities for our Samoa or for Samoa from across the Pacific, you know, getting more opportunities in weightlifting?
Absolutely. So currently Samoa is the powerhouse for weightlifting, both male and female, especially our girls. They are a little bit younger for now. They look great. So Ele Opelonge obviously set the bar for women's Samoan weightlifting. She was our first Olympian and first Olympic medal as well. So it's a revival. There are quite a few female weightlifters for all the countries, all the Pacific countries I see, as well as here in Samoa. So it looks to be well on its way to rivaling the boys, really.
Yeah, and in your opinion, you know, weightlifting, has it empowered our women to be able to achieve more? And has, you know, that stigma sort of gone away as well from females doing, like, lifting or participating in sport now? Are we starting to see that, you know, disappear?
Oh, absolutely. I think because just like anything new, it takes a while for people to accept it. You know, it's different. So, I give credit back to Ele Opelonge because she really broke that glass ceiling for women, for the strength, you know, women in strength sports, and being able to achieve. She's absolutely loved, and she paved the way for people, for our people, to go, oh, so, you know, they're not just going to lift rocks, which they can do as well. Evangeline does it too, but they can lift and empower at the same time without being less feminine. Although I'm not sure if you want them lifting more than that.
Well, I'm just, you know, if you're listening right now and weightlifting or lifting big weights interests you anywhere in the Pacific, make sure you ask around and get involved as young, fit athletes, because, man, you'll be surprised. Our natural gift of strength and being able to push big weight, you just never know where you could end up. You could actually end up on the world stage at the Olympics representing your country. So hopefully we see more and more of our Pacific male and females adopting that sport. But let's get over to across the Pacific. What have you got for us there?
Awesome. So the 25th of November began the 16 days of activism. 16 days of activism is focused on the elimination or the awareness of elimination of violence against women and girls. And obviously this 2025 has seen even more sporting partners and more sporting bodies jump into 16 days. And so I would love to highlight that as part of the OFC, actually, OFC 16 days of activism, the very courageous Cook Island goalkeeper Rianne Pepe is stepping forward to share her story of resilience after facing online abuse following her team's opening match defeat in Tahiti. The abuse targeted Rihanna's weight and how the image of a goalie did not fit in that image. So the digital abuse against her was a lot, and it was a little bit too much. OFC quickly stepped in and supported Rihanna by removing all the hurtful comments from all its social platforms, as well as offering not only her but also her team support, and took a strong stance against online abuse. And OFC also urges all football fans to help keep digital spaces safe by reporting online abuse to safe@oceaniafootball.com. And I think it's something that's really hidden quite often, because our female athletes, and this is across the Pacific, so big, I want to give a big shout out to Rihanna for being so courageous as to share her story, because that's not easy as well.
You're not wrong. Man, these type of incidences, what would you strongly say to someone out there that's just behind the keyboard and wanting to write something hurtful and wouldn't have any idea what it's like to represent or play on a stage like that? Like, what would you want to say to someone like that around thinking about their actions?
What I would say to those people, get off the keyboard. You know, you don't have the responsibility to be able to, if you cannot say these things to anyone in your family, then what allows you to be able to say it to someone else's daughter or son? And so be responsible. And if they don't know enough to be able to recognize that they're not being responsible, you go back into your values as a Pacific Islander and whichever Pacific Island you're from, and those values are rooted in family and respect, and you remember who you are before you jump on that keyboard.
Man, that is a very powerful message. You just gave me goosebumps then, just talking about, you know, our values as Pacific Island people, our family. We all have sons and daughters. Mm. And if you're not going to say it to them, why would you put it?
Yeah.
Why would you put that out there? Man, we're from us at Fresh Off the Field, we are sending our love to Rihanna Pepe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep representing the Cook Islands and we've got your back. What's, like, through your experience, like, how do you develop that resilience? You know, because it it won't go away in terms of that online online comments and hateful comments as much as we would love to. But how would you tell someone, or like in terms of advice for anyone out there that's that is playing, to be able to develop that resilience and just focus on what you can control?
A lot of the programs that we do, and this is part of our advocacy, and you're right, it is hard to shut out the noise, but it is exactly what you're supposed to do. As long as you realize that you can't make everybody happy. I mean, and that is the absolute truth of it. You can't make everyone happy 100% of the time. But at the same time, those people who are putting in bad thoughts or giving you flack for whatever, they don't matter. They never did. They didn't matter in your life. They weren't there for you before. They should never be any part of your life. So you could do a few things, completely disregard it, go off socials, because social media isn't real life either. Real life is looking at your family, looking at your coworkers and your children and the game that you love. So minimize time on social media, block out those people who are not your real friends, and also celebrate yourself. You are, for example, we'll take Rihanna Pepe. There is only one Rihanna Pepe in this whole world. So you celebrate being you, and everyone else, they can take it as it is, and it doesn't have to matter with you. You know, I always say this, it is a choice to react. You always have a choice. So either you choose to react, and how you react would define what you hold dear to yourself.
Again,
okay, I might rant a little bit.
Nah, that was perfect. Very well said. Wise words. And that's why you are a leader in this space. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. And now for myself, I have a quick one here. We already talked about the Rugby League World Cup draw. And last night we had the Rugby Union World Cup draw for the tournament in 2027 here in Australia, which will feature 24 teams. And here's how our Pacific teams went in the draw. The Flying Fijians. The Fijians are up against Argentina, Canada and Spain in their pool. For Tonga, for the Ikaletahi, they've got England, Wales and Zimbabwe. For Manu Samoa, they have France, Japan and USA. And for Australia, they have the All Blacks, New Zealand, Hong Kong, China, and Hong Kong, China is one team, not two teams, and Chile. And this is the first time the Rugby Union World Cup has had 24 teams, and then they've got six pools of four teams. The top two teams from each pool will advance to a Group 16 stage, with four of the other teams will then advance into that group 16, and then it'll go to the quarterfinal, semis, and then eventually the grand final for the William Webb Ellis Cup. It's going to be a fantastic tournament, and we're looking forward to covering that in 2027. But Patricia and Gabs, it's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. Yes, it's time to play my favourite game, Gyaman Stupwe, which is Tokpis and Four Pick the Lie, and each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie, and the other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stupwe them, and with only, 2 weeks to go of Gyaman Stupwe, we're in for a big one, aren't we, ladies?
I hope so.
Everyone sounds enthusiastic about it, but let's get to it. Patricia, what are your three things?
Okay. I've run out of lies, frankly. So let's see if I still got my poker face on. All right, three things.
Well, lucky we can't see it.
I used to play soccer until, you know, work got in the way, and I stopped playing like 3 years ago. So these are the three positions that I play. Two of them are true, and one is a lie. So I used to play as a midfielder, as a forward, and as a goalkeeper. Which one is the lie?
Which one is the lie, Gabs? What are you thinking here? Midfielder,
man,
forward,
Patricia.
Goalie. I've seen Patricia in real life as well, so yeah. She's not tall.
Oh, so So you have a leg up already, Sam.
I do, but I'm letting you know as well.
Mm. Yeah.
She's
yeah,
not I'm tall, thinking. So I'm thinking one for myself.
I'm thinking I'll give it a crack. I think Patricia sounds fit. So I'm pretty sure she's also at one point was running all over the show.
Yes.
And we're Pacific Islanders. So I think, you know, at one point we all ran out of positions to play. So we had to play everything. but I think the one position she did not play is a forward. And I'm going to go with that one.
You're going to go with the forward. I'm actually going to go with the goalie. You weren't a goalie. You're too, like, your height just doesn't suit being a goalkeeper. I reckon you are fit and you got around in the midfield, but that's what I'm going with, goalie. You weren't a goalie.
Yeah, Sam's got it.
Yeah,
I've never played as a goalkeeper, but I started off as a midfielder and then played as a forward, so... Yep, that's that. So I've never played as a goalkeeper. One, because I have bad eyesight. Sam, you know I wear glasses.
Yeah,
so
I can't
save anything.
Why are you laughing so hard, Gabs?
Because I feel like this is rigged. Sam, it's rigged for Sam.
No, I just said it was a guess. It was a guess. It was a very calculated guess. But very good guess. But anyway, let's go to you now, Gabs. You get to return fire here.
All right.
What have you got for us?
Okay, one, I am a very avid book reader. Two, I'm really good at making balloon animals. And three, I am also an event planner.
Do you make balloons at your events?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your favorite animal to make? Little sausage dog. I always like the sausage dog or the elephant.
I'm really good at making the flower and then giving you the little drape that comes with it. So you put it around your arm.
That's impressive. Yeah. Very impressive. But anyway, is this a lie though? But Patricia, what are you thinking here? She sold that to me.
Yeah, I feel like she gave away when you asked that question. I want to go with the first one. I don't think you're an avid book reader, but it might be true.
I feel like that's true because she's very wise.
Yeah, you know, just hearing everything you said, like...
No, but you got to lock in book reader, though. You've locked that in, okay?
I'm going with the second one. Yeah, I think that's a lie.
Okay, for some reason, I'm thinking that's true. It just... One of those random ones, and I don't think you're an event planner. So I think you're a book reader, and you can make balloons. All right, I'm going to lock in three. You're not an event planner.
Okay, and Patricia, are you locking in two or one?
Two.
Two. All right.
Two.
I love her.
Two.
And the answer is two.
Oh.
Yay.
Damn.
Sam, she lied to you.
She got me hook, line, and sinker. That flower and being able to put it on the wrist, I just thought only a balloon maker would know that.
I try, but I'm not good at it.
Okay. Fair enough. We always have a bit of fun. So thank you for playing. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, we've talked plenty about the latest news, and so now let's hear from some of the talented people in the Pacific, and we are going to go straight to you, Gabs. Who did you catch up with this week?
This week, I was super happy to be able to highlight the hardworking Samoan national wrestling coach, Yuta Abe. He is a former Japanese national wrestling champion. And the phenomenal rise of wrestling in Samoa. Samoa also had its first wrestler in the Paris 2024 Olympics, Mr. Gaku Akazawa. And it was through Gaku that Yuta, as a JICA volunteer, was able to come to Samoa earlier this year. I started the interview with Yuta just asking him to introduce himself and just give us a little background on who he is.
I'm wrestling coach. I'm Yuta. So I was Japan national champion 2018, and I have judo black belt. I was World Cup, the fourth place, and Asia Championships, the fifth place.
How long have you been in wrestling?
25 years. I started wrestling the 4 years old, So my father played wrestling, and my older brother played wrestling. So I went to dojo, like a gym, and go together. Yeah.
Then when did you start coaching?
23 years old.
20. Yeah.
Yeah. So I teach the wrestling for kids 5 years old to 12 years old.
So you come to Samoa, you're part of the Samoa Wrestling Federation. It is not one of the main sports for Samoa, but it you've had a big year. You've had a big year for 2025.
A highlight of this year was hosting Samoa National Competition the last month. Yeah.
Was that the first time that Samoa Wrestling has put in, has hosted a national championship?
Not sure, but the last time Samoa National Championships, 2021.
I've seen the revival of Samoa Wrestling Federation in the past, what?
8 years ago.
So in 8 years, we had Coach Gaku, and we're very, Samoa is fortunate to have Coach Yuta.
Mm.
And 2025, we see gold medals. Yeah. Good man. So, and did you have another international competition also this year?
Yeah, Pacific Mini Games. Sorry.
How did that go?
Two athletes competed. We got 4 gold and 1 silver. Yeah.
How long have these athletes been training? Hard. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years.
Hard worker.
Yeah, hard work. Yeah.
Yeah. What makes you proud as a coach?
So my athletes get gold. It's proud, yeah. It's my proud.
It is your proud. So let's talk about these. What is Samoa Wrestling looking? How are they looking to include more women?
More women.
Yes.
How? So I want to make a women wrestling class in Wednesday next year.
Nice.
So me and the other coach that talking about this year.
Good, good. Because you have. Well, I think with the young kids, you have some good potential.
Yes.
Upcoming. Oceania alone. Oceania. What's our best category?
I think two-weight category is the best. 97 and 125. Yeah. The heavyweight.
Heavyweight.
Yeah.
125.
That's why some people, it's the big. Yeah.
Yeah. Compared to Australia and New Zealand. Where do you think Samoa is?
Yeah, I think stronger than Australia.
What are the upcoming tournaments for Samoa Wrestling?
Next year.
Next year?
The Oceania Championships. So Oceania Championships will be held in Samoa.
And how many countries participating?
All Pacific countries, I think 20 something, yeah.
That's a big tournament.
Yeah, a big tournament.
How many athletes do you think you will enter? And what division do you think?
20.
You, 20?
Yeah, 20.
Which in Greco and freestyle?
I say both.
Yuta, tell us what is the difference between freestyle and
The freestyle can't touch anything. That a leg, an upper body, and a body, anything. Okay. The Greco-Roman style. Can't touch leg.
Yeah. To achieve at that competition,
Oceania Championships.
Yeah.
So the 20 medals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 20 medals.
Yeah. 20 medals.
Yes.
Yeah. All gold.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. Coach Yuta, from 3 athletes in Oceania 2025.
Yeah.
And then 3 athletes in mini games 2025.
Two athletes in Pacific mini games. Yeah.
Yeah, and 2026 you're gonna have 20.
Yeah, 20.
That is a huge testament of your commitment to the development program. That's really good.
Yeah.
Fresh off the field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific, ABC Radio Australia.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Gabs. That was an absolutely fantastic story. But now we are going to go to
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, fresh off the dome. Before we finish up, it's time for our quiz. And every week I'll ask three questions. Gab and Patricia, they will use their name as their buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, you can play along at home too. Question number one. Fijian politicians this week might try to change a law that will force people to pay to do what sport in the beautiful waters of the Pacific surrounding the Fijian Islands?
Oh, Gab.
All right, Gabby, what are you thinking here?
Well, I'm thinking either it's got to be surfing or outrigger canoeing.
Okay, choose one of those.
Choose one of them. I'm going to go with surfing because more tourists surf.
You are on the money.
Oh, yes.
You are on the money. The goal is to get more money into the Fijian economy, and they're going to use their beautiful waters as their vehicle to generate more money. So you've got to be paying for it. Not sure how much, but I just hope it doesn't lock out the local surfers, but surely not. Surely not, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So let's get to question number two. So that's 1-0 to you, Gabs, yeah? 1-0, off to a flying start. Question number two is multiple choice. Which Pacific nation is planning on building a new 17-metre pool opening early next year, available to the public and athletes, next to the tennis centre? Is it A, Vanuatu, B, Cook Islands, or C, Tonga?
Patricia.
Oh, Patricia, what have you got? You seem very confident.
Is it Vanuatu?
It is Vanuatu. It is Vanuatu. And as you might know, swimmers train at one of the hotel pools at the moment. So this will be a massive boost in all the swimmers' preparation to be able to continue their progress in the water. So that's great news for them. And it will also have a disability access ramp. So very exciting news all round. And here we go. That's 1-1.
Oh.
This is the decider. We're ready to go here. And this one's closest to. There have been 30 Summer Olympic Games, the most recent being in Paris in 2024. Out of the 30, how many times has the Solomon Islands been at the Summer Olympics? Remember, just it's closest to.
Gabs.
Go for it, Gabs.
I'm going to go with 18.
Okay, what have you got, Patricia?
Six. It's a wild guess.
Hang on, I've got to do my math here. It's close. Okay, so I think I've just gone to the video ref here just to help me out with the calculator. It was 7 for Gab, 5 for Patricia. So closest to is Patricia. You win.
Nice.
And the answer was 11. Sorry, I should have said that 11. Bit. The answer was 11. As you can see, math wasn't my strong point at school. Neither was spelling. Neither was science or geography. But so as long as I've got someone giving me the answer next to me, we're all good. But that's it. Who won then? Patricia won as well.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Patricia, well done. How good was that? And that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, PNG journalist and media manager for PNG Football, Patricia Kiamo. Thank you, true Patricia.
Thank you so much, Sam and Gabs. It's always been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes, big plot. Thank you, true. Yes, my talk piece is still not bad. I'll give myself some credit there. But a big thank you to my other co-host, former footy player and now leader in all things women's sport in Samoa and beyond, Fafatai Lava, Gabriel Apelu.
Fafatai Lava team, I'm also wishing everybody a safe and warm festive season, and see you guys in 2026.
Absolutely. We'll see you in 2026. And a big thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. And I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.